Values in raising a family. Where does it start? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Values in raising a family. Where does it start? Well, it starts with years and 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 years ago. Remember back in the days of the caveman? Remember back in the orangutan? The original archetypal man, when he first came forth, what did he do? The original man was born and came forth, looked like a man. I don't think we mutated as much as people think we did. I think we maintained a pretty balanced physiognomy like we have now. But the original man, the early man, we could say Neanderthal man or all the other names, but the original man looked just like a man. He was up on all twos, and he was standing there, and he was standing straight and erect. The only reason that we see bodies that are bent at all is because they were lifting logs and other heavy things, and over a period of time they didn't know how to lift, so they bent over, and they hadn't had the training that's given them at various industries to squat and bend your knees and pick up, you know. But nonetheless, the original man, how did he live? What sort of life did the original man have? His original purity and integrity. He did what?
He loved himself and had fun. I love myself and have fun.
And?
I like me.
Be yourself and have fun. I am myself and I have fun, right?
Yes.
What's the phrase?
I'm myself and I have fun.
And another phrase?
I like me.
It's all in divine order.
That's your dream.
I am peace.
I am peace.
I am myself and I have fun.
And you, madame?
I am myself and have fun.
Wow. Yes, indeed. Now, those were the values of the early man and woman and child. All they had to do was just lay around all day long and be themselves and have fun. Now, what did the early man do? Were they always carnivorous or were they herbivorous? What were they? What was the early man? They were like the bears. They just ate seeds and berries and things like that. Now, why does a bear ever eat meat? A bear seldom eats meat, doesn't it? Have you heard much about what a bear eats?
No.
Well, what did a brontosaurus eat? Remember the brontosaurus? That's the early dinosaurs. What did he have? He had a long, long neck that reached all the way past the garage and further, and his body was here going down the hill. You know. Now, what did he eat? Do you know?
Brontosaurus.
Brontosaurus.
Rex.
Not Tyrannosaurus Rex, but Brontosaurus. Now, the Brontosaurus was a vegetarian, totally vegetarian. He ate no meat whatsoever. His mouth was designed for eating just vegetables and chewing on grass and other things of that nature and the leaves of the trees. And that's what he ate. And he had this fantastically big body, and yet he was very comfortable. Well, some animals did mutate a little bit. And they mutated perhaps out of the need for eating when food and grass were scarce, and then they began eating each other. And so they developed teeth that allowed them to chew meat apart and eat it. But the early man, he too ate the grass and ate the berries, and he ate the various things that were edible. And he didn't eat animals, he didn't eat meat at all. And he did this for how many generations? For thousands and thousands, maybe millennia. Because these various types of man that we study archaeologically were not for great periods of time, but just for short periods. And what happened? What did they do? They too changed a little bit and began eating meat because somebody did some dastardly thing. Now, can any of you guess what the dastardly thing might have been that they did? To change the values of being vegetarian to being herbivore, eating meat. What do you think they did? Anybody got a guess? Well, what they did was a piece of meat fell in the fire and got cooked. And the flavor of the cooking meat was so tantalizing and so delicious that they felt maybe we should go after meat. Because eating raw meat isn't all that exciting. It's just like if you're using the urine diet and drinking urine, it's not all that exciting. But it is something very beneficial for your body and beneficial for everything about you, but it's not all that exciting to just go and do that. Now, eating raw meat, it was not all that exciting either. So they didn't do that. But they probably threw a bone to their dog and their dog chewed on it and did things. But when it got into the fire and got cooked, then the flavor and aroma that came from it was so spectacular, they changed their values from being just people of the gardening type and of the earth to people who started to eat meat. Now, throughout all time, there was only one thing that man had to do, and that was just to be happy and to enjoy life and to eat the food that was available to him. Now, where was the food that's available to him? It was just the natural food around him. And then along comes a gourmet cook throwing a piece of meat on the fire and causing everything to go in a complete change. Can you imagine being a caveman and being an early caveman before they had discovered fire and how to make it? They were very cold. They cuddled up next to each other and they tried to use each other's body heat for warmth, and they covered themselves over with whatever they could get, and they didn't have the coats of animals because they didn't kill them yet. They didn't kill animals. So they made fabric type of things to cover themselves. Well, what did they do? They were just being themselves and having fun. And so during the day they would play and they would go out and they would go out and look for things to eat, and then they'd come back in the evening and they'd sit in their cave, or maybe not even in their cave, and just eat and play and do whatever they were doing. And they were happy like that for thousands and thousands of years. Really. And we think that that's the beginning of humanity. I might just throw this in for a little something to chew on. Humanity, as we have known it in its development from the early primitive ideal man, really, who had no illnesses, no diseases, no problems, the early ideal primitive man, and we'll have the early ideal primitive man soon again, when the tectonic plates sweep over and sort of wash away all the old civilizations, and then new civilizations come out again after that. You say, oh, come on now, that can't be so, but it is. Because that's what takes place every several millions or billions of years. And this is what archaeologists are finding, and this is what they're showing us in their research on the geological activities that are going on the Earth. Quite fascinating. So, where do family values come from? Well, now, the family values were that you feed your own family. And so you take care of your family. And then some wandering person comes along who doesn't have a family, or he's kicked out of his family for being a naughty person or whatever, and he tries to join your tribe and join your family and wants to eat with your family. So you make way and feed him with what you have, and you do have an abundance of food. And as this person comes in, he tries to bring in the values that he had with his family. And the values he had with his family may be different than the values of the group that you're with. the tribe that you're with. And that group that you're with may say that women are for making meals and men are for going out and gathering in the grain. And another tribe might be that women go out and gather the grain and men may stay home and make the meals and take care of the kids. You know, why not? Could be any way at all. And so these values, those are simple values. Those values begin to conflict when the nations or tribes begin to interact with one another. And that's what begins wars, because men don't do that. Men don't cook and women go out and gather. Men go out and gather and women cook. And you see, that's a simple little nothing thing, but that's a value. And that's how values get started. Now, what are the real values? The value is to be yourself and have fun. Now, how can you be yourself and have fun unless you know what it means to have fun? Unless you know what it means to be yourself. What does it mean to be yourself? What does it mean to have rules in your community? And the rules are not necessarily rules because they have nothing to write them down on. And people don't necessarily tell the newborn baby, now these are the rules. But the babies observe how the family lives and what the program is and follow suit. The baby has no desire to do it any differently. And if a baby joins another tribe, is taken away or stolen or given away, then in the other tribe he's got to learn the new set of programs that that tribe goes on. These are how values are founded in the family. Now, nations are the same way. Do you know how the Israelis treat their people? And you know how all the Hebrew men must be circumcised? That's part of the rule, isn't it? Now, you know how all Muslim. All the Muslim people, how do they act? The Muslim people have a whole different thing. If Ellen were a Muslim, you would never know that it was Ellen. Why wouldn't you know it's Ellen?
Because she's hiding herself.
Because, now don't go making judgments. I'm talking about generalities. She's not hiding herself. She's wearing a veil as custom requires.
Yeah, you don't see her. That's why you said you wouldn't know it.
Yeah, you wouldn't know her. Oh, I see, you're taking it from that point of view, that she's hiding. But yeah, you wouldn't know her because she's wearing a veil. She's not hiding. All women wear veils when they're in public, or else they are taken to task by the rules of their community. Now, there are many other rules in the Muslim traditions that are unique. There are many rules in Germany, in France, in England, in Scandinavian countries, in Japan. What do they do to women in Japan? Very lovely women, and they want to keep them from wandering around.
They
tie their feet in a tight knot. Yeah. They tie their feet in a tight shoe so that they can't walk.
Mm-hmm.
And then they become crippled, and they cannot walk. I would think that's not too handy for having a wife that can't walk around and take care of things. But anyhow, that's what they did. And what do some African tribes do? They put metal circles on their neck, you know, and on their ears. My gosh, they hang down to their shoulders. And they paint themselves, and then they stick pins in themselves. Now, what Africans did years ago is being done today in America by boys and girls by doing what?
Putting
pins in their lips, in their tongue, in their ears. My gosh, what an interesting experience. Well, now, those are cultural mores, those are values that are being built up. You say, well, those aren't the real values. Well, out of there are born the real values. Out of there is, in Africa, the woman who has the more rings around her neck, she becomes a more valued person in the tribe. And she is a very high-ranking person by the number of things she has around her. Now, what do they do in New York? They put the number of rings on your fingers, you know, and diamonds on your neck, and what have you. And this makes you a very wealthy person, you know. And so, and what do other people do? They drive around in big cars. And when you see a big car, that always told you there was somebody who's being rather pompous and putting on a show. And it's fascinating. But these are the social values that are being built up. Now, when any of these social values are violated by someone who comes into your cultural group, then you are ostracized. You are not wanted in that group because you don't belong, you don't cooperate. Now, do you belong? Do you cooperate? Ellen lived in Germany, Mönchengladbach, Germany. And she lived there as she was growing up. And then as a young lady, she went to London. And in London, she learned to like peanut butter and jelly. Not really. What did you learn to like? Some kind of meat and stuff.
Tomato soup.
Tomato soup. But I thought you liked something with it. No. Tomato soup. Well, so in London, she learned to eat tomato soup, or she was raised in Germany. They didn't have tomato soup in Germany?
Yes, they had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then she marries an Italian type boy in Switzerland, and he wanted Italian type meals. So she had to learn to cook Italian type meals, or else she wouldn't remain married. Because he had to have his wife do that type of cooking. And so she learned. She learned, and much to her distress many times, but she learned. And she found that her mother-in-law was one of her greatest fans, teaching her how to cook. And she gave her all sorts of lessons until Ellen finally ran away screaming. But, you see, she didn't want to enter into that value system they had. Now, in Italy, they have a certain attitude about girls and daughters and so forth, and they act as though they're so precious and so wonderful, and yet they work them to pieces. They feel nothing about forcing them to work very hard. Is that true? That's true. And in many other countries, it's the same way. Now, how do these values affect you and affect me? How are these values in raising the family? Well, in my household, my father always said, you kids, the other kids in the world may be going to hell, but you kids are not. You're going to follow the rules that we set up in this household. And the rules are, when you come to the table, you don't have your hair up in rollers, you know? When you come to the table for breakfast or any meal, you do not wear your bathrobe. You're dressed. And my dad was not a really pompous man, but he had certain rules that he had apparently gained from his parents. And he just passed them along. Because there's no reason for it. What difference does it make if the girls are sitting at the table in their PJs and slippers and stuff like that, which they did as soon as Pop wasn't home. But what difference did it make? Well, that was one of the values of the family. And do you know, that value was treated with such respect that if any girl came to the table improperly dressed while Pop was home, immediately she went upstairs and she changed, or she stayed upstairs and did not eat. Because he set those rules, and those were the rules. And you see, many times these things are sort of fictitious type rules. They have no real basis of any realistic activity, in fact, but they're things that we learn to do. Have you ever had any rules in your family? Have you ever had any values that you learned in your family that your neighbors didn't have? What's the greatest surprise that most mothers have in their entire life? The greatest surprise that most mothers have is when the neighbor comes over after having a visit from their children and tells the mother, do you know your children put my children to shame? They're so well-mannered, they're so orderly, they're so proper. They got up after dinner, picked up their dishes and put them up on the sink, and they cleaned their plates and they did everything. And they asked for permission to do it, and they were so orderly, so mannerly. Your children are just great. And the mother stood there and fainted, you know. My children? You see, She had been teaching them that all these years, but she never had a chance to see it tested away from home. At home is always a little bit of rebellion, but when they're away from home, whatever the values are that they have been taught at home, they carry out. It's just like little children. They tell what's going on at their home as a matter of fact because they don't think anything's wrong with it. And they go and tell the neighbors what their mommy and daddy are doing and stuff like that, and they don't think anything's wrong with it because at home there's nothing thought about it. But you don't go telling the neighbors all about what mommy and daddy are doing, you know. And they do just because it's a matter of just common conversation. They don't think there's anything right or wrong about it. Now, you see, that's when you really have values inculcated into children and inculcated into people that they don't even know it's happening. And it's beautiful. And you'll find that other values are interesting too. Women love baseball and football and basketball if their boyfriend does. If their boyfriend loves hockey, they love hockey. Whatever their boyfriend loves, they love. And they love it until they have their ring on the finger, and then they show their real colors that they don't love it. And, hey, that's okay, but it's not having the proper values. If they would win their boyfriend by the proper attitude, by being harmonious with their values, they would be much more fortunate. Now, just making their sport your sport is not a very harmonious thing to do, because the day of reckoning comes, and the day of reckoning is when you try to change your husband. And that's the day of reckoning, and that's the day that the husband begins to earn less of a salary, because he loses his own self-esteem, his own self-belief in himself, his own self-respect, and when he does, he earns less money at the office or on the job, whatever he's doing. Really. A woman who praises the wage earner, or a man, if his wife is a wage earner, and many times the wife earns very well. We know a lot of very high-classed women executives who are doing great. Well, that husband is not gonna kill the goose that lays the golden eggs. He's going to encourage her all he can, because there's no pride in that. That's just a matter of common sense and good value, you know. And we learn these things. We learn these things as values. And what I'm saying right now is just the beginning of our ideas on values. We'll be continuing more on family values, but we'll begin talking about values with the family next when we talk about how children are trained family values and what it does to their life and their lifestyle and what it does to the future of the country itself. So, have a good evening and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.